Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, because I am going to the Father. As you heard in the Gospel, that saying of Jesus confused Jesus' disciples greatly when they first heard it. It was on Maundy Thursday evening, before they arrived at the Garden of Gethsemane, that Jesus spoke those words, and sure enough, in just a little while, within a few hours, he would be arrested, and they would flee. And then, within 24 hours, he would be crucified, dead, and buried. And for a little while, they wouldn't see him. Not until Easter Sunday in the evening, when he appeared to his disciples together. Then they saw him and rejoiced, even as the world had rejoiced over the past 2 days, because they thought they didn't have to put up with this Jesus anymore. But is that the little while that Jesus was talking about? Well, it's surely part of it, but not all of it. Because I go to the Father, Jesus said. Now, after he rose from the dead, he said to Mary Magdalene, I have not yet gone or ascended to the Father. That would happen at his ascension. And so, this little while of the disciples not seeing Jesus wasn't just the really little while between his crucifixion and Easter Sunday evening. It was also, and maybe more so, the time from his ascension until the time they would see him again, which would be the day of their deaths. Jesus would die and rise again and then show himself to his disciples after a little while. But that other while, that little while from God's perspective, applied not only to the disciples but also to us. We have never seen Jesus as the disciples did. We have never gotten to see him even for a little while. We've spent our whole lives not seeing him. Of course, remember why Jesus' disciples didn't see him for a little while, that little while when he was dead. You and I have never had to live through that either. We've never lived through a single moment of our lives when Jesus wasn't alive. The disciples had that anguish for a few days. That little while must have really been trying. But then the joy of the resurrection overtook them so that they could sustain that other little while between Jesus' ascension and when their time of suffering here on earth was over and they would see him again. You never had to experience that little while of Jesus being dead. But you may have experienced at some time in your life a time when you thought he was dead because you didn't yet believe in the living Lord Jesus. Even on that first Easter, between the morning when Jesus rose from the dead and the evening when he appeared to the disciples together, he wasn't dead any longer, but they thought he was dead, and so their sorrow continued. Maybe you've had a time in your life like that, if you've had to deal with your own sins, with your own bad behavior and self-absorption. You would be sorrowful too. You've messed up in God's sight. You've been messing up on the inside since the moment you were born or even before, and that quickly moved to the outside in your behavior. You know that your flesh, your old man, still doubts God, still doesn't want to be under his rule, still focuses on serving self. To live with the holy God, you have to be holy like God, not just a good person, not just a decent person, but a holy person, and you aren't that. Without an advocate, without a mediator to make your case before God, you have no hope, no joy in your future, only sorrow. There was a time in your life, even if you don't remember it, when you were in that position without an advocate before God, without a mediator. But then you learned that God has, in fact, provided a mediator for every sinner. You learned that the mediator was crucified for your sins. And you learned that he was raised from the dead, that you can rely on him to make your case before God based on his own record of goodness and holiness. And so you began to use the living Christ as your mediator before God. You began to believe in him, to trust in him as your redeemer from sin. And the sorrow that came with guilt, the sorrow that came with despair, was replaced with joy. You didn't see Jesus for a little while before you heard and believed the gospel. But when you heard it and believed it, and now every time you hear it and believe it, sorrow gives way to joy in the living Christ. Still, we don't see Jesus now. And we won't see him until the day of our death or until the day he comes again. And that's hard. It gets harder every day because we have entered an age in which so-called science rules all. And the vast majority of people around us doesn't even bother with religion anymore, much less the true religion, the Christian one. It's easier than you might think for Christians to be affected by that mindset of seeing is believing, especially when what we see in the world is a world that hates Jesus, even without seeing him, a world that hates Christians too, and that hatred is becoming more and more open as people move closer and closer to their God. For unbelievers, that means moving closer and closer to the devil, the father of lies, the first hater to ever exist. He rules by deception, fear, mockery, timidity, anger, selfishness, and lawlessness. He wants people to behave that way. He wants people to lie, to deceive, and to hate other people. And he rewards people with a twisted sort of joy in showing hatred. You can see that if you watch the behavior of unbelievers. As Jesus told his disciples, "Truly, truly, I tell you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice." The world rejoices that Jesus is gone, out of sight, that the Christian religion seems to be dying out, that they don't have to talk about God anymore, that they can do whatever delights them, whatever pleases them, without cost and without consequence. But Christians, during the same time, also draw closer and closer to our God. We take refuge more and more in the risen Lord Christ and find joy and peace in knowing that even though we can't see him now, we will see him soon, in a little while, when he comes again to rescue us from this evil world. And even the reason we don't see him now gives us comfort. We don't see him now because he's ruling invisibly as king at the right hand of God. He rules by truth, boldness, peace, kindness, courage, wisdom, justice, and love. And even though we don't see those things flourishing in the world around us, we pray that they may flourish in us and among us, even as we believe in the one who rules over all things by those things. And when we trust in him, and when we strive to live like him, we win. We overcome the world and its master, the devil, through faith in the Lord whom we don't see now, but will see in a little while. Peter has some advice for Christians while we wait to see Jesus. As the world pursues fleshly lusts more and more, Peter says, abstain from fleshly lusts. As the world behaves badly, Peter says, behave well among the Gentiles, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good works and glorify God on the day of visitation. Notice, Peter doesn't expect unbelievers to start praising God's people here and now for the good lives that you lead. Now they will still speak against you as evildoers. But on the day of visitation, when Jesus comes, they will have to even begrudgingly acknowledge before God that his people did good, not evil. And of course that means, as Peter also points out, that we need to be especially careful not to do evil, but to do good. Don't give people another reason to hate God because the people of God behave so badly, behave just like the children of the devil. Even if unbelievers stoke the fires of hatred and violence, don't behave as the devil's children do, with rage and anger and gnashing of teeth, but as God's children who know that, as Peter said, it is commendable if a person, for the sake of conscience toward God, endures grief when suffering wrongfully. You can handle all this, because none of this will last more than a little while, relatively speaking. Then we will see Jesus again, and the world's dreams of becoming their own gods will vanish in an instant, and we will have all eternity to live in total peace and safety and in the presence of the one who loved us and gave himself for us, seeing him with your own eyes. You have sorrow now, Jesus says, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. Remember that Jesus rose from the dead. Remember that Jesus reigns on his throne. Remember that he's coming again, that you may be with him where he is. And when you remember, rejoice. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.